Okay, cool. I didn't hear that. Hi. How interesting. We gave you 2-hour lunch and you were late. What's up? What's up? I think Maui is not a great place to do hot marriage secrets. I think it's too freaking distracting. It's too distracting. Like, you don't want to be in a freaking room, do you? I don't want to be in this room. You don't want to be in this room. Like, we need to do it in, like, Dallas. Some ugly city that no one wants to see. Some man-made place. Okay. Versus this God-made place. So amazing. Okay. Well, I need to hear from you on how is it going, and I don't want you to blow smoke up my dress that can't get anything in there anyway. There's no room at all, especially today. Mrs. Gorin, please stand up. Stand up. You, this is the woman who made you the stuff you won't stop eating. Just, I want you to see her so that you know who has been sending this to us. That's her. Okay? Come here. Let's get that mic on. It was so beautiful. Jesus, just freaking gorgeous. Don't. Is he on? Hello? I already did it, babe. Okay, this is perfect. This is where we're going to go right here, right now.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Chad? No, he's... What the hell? The switch is on. Honey, stop touching it. You guys, it's not turning on. Okay, hold on. That means... Dude, hold on. I'm so sorry. I've got to get the right vantage point. Come here. Okay. It should. Honey, watch out. I did this wrong. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I got it. I'm the one that screwed it up. No, they're brand new batteries. You know what? That's the next one we need to play. Sir, I need to give you a pat down.
That's the kind of free massage I like.
Sir, I have to give you a pat down. Make sure that everything is... When I get to the groin area, I'm sorry, I have to go all the way up and all the way down. We should try that sometime. Kind of fun. Might change our state for the next time we go there.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Oh, gosh, it's terrible. Anyway, all right. How many of you did your homework? Hold on 1 second. Let me just double check that. How many of you did your homework? What was your homework? To speak blessing over each other. Okay. Now, say again.
And to find
the crappy seed. So you
had to find the crappy seed.
You found the crappy seed.
I was on a...
You looked for lots of bad seed that you had sown.
Yes.
And you looked to correct it.
Yes.
Right? Okay, this is good. How many of you did do that? How many of you discovered some of the bad seed that you sowed? Okay, awesome. And how many of you then corrected that? You did your best. You know what I mean? What did you call it? Not crop failure, but cancel the seed.
No, every seed planted has a
cycle.
Okay,
you talked about that.
Okay, so when you plant a seed, it has a life cycle.
Yeah.
The problem is we keep eating the fruit from the seed we planted, and then we keep spewing it back into the garden.
It starts a whole new life cycle.
So it's just continuing.
Yep. So this new seed of the blessing.
So accelerate, mm-hmm. Cancel, accelerate, right? Own it, suck it up, be a man, take what you sowed, right? But pray and ask him. Give me the strength to deal with, to handle what I've sown.
Yeah.
But to the extent you can, can we accelerate the season, compress the season, yeah. Right? Sometimes you can get some crop failure. Sometimes you can't, right? There is no getting out of
consequences
for our actions.
Hello. Swallow that. I could see it on her face, like, crap, swallow it. Now, here's what's beautiful about the God that we serve. None of us have ever had to pay the full price for our sin. Amen. None of us have ever had to pay the full price for our sin. Nor have we even had to pay for all of it. There are so many consequences I know that I personally have not had to deal with because of the grace of my Father. And how many of you know the same thing is true for you? I know. Sinful woman. Much less sinful today than I was 5 years ago, than I was 15 years ago, than I was 20 years ago, than I was 30 years ago. Much less. All right, so I'm going to tell you that I'm feeling pretty crappy right now. I am. I'm feeling really crappy right now. I'm feeling like I'm not hitting the mark right now. I'm feeling like I'm missing it.
Really?
I really do.
That,
no, gosh, I freaking love this thing over here. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, this is a very interesting experience for me personally. I haven't said this part to him. The more healing that he and I have had, the harder it is for me to do my job. It is precious because all I want to do is be with him. That's it. And so I'm in a really strange part in my life that I have so much fulfillment in this relationship, and I have so much peace and contentment, what used to be contention. So work was an escape. It was a place of fulfillment for me. And I'm not saying it's not at all anymore, but it's nowhere near what it was. So now, like, if I could have it my way, we would just travel and all over the world. That's all we would do. If I had, like, that's my dream. Isn't that pathetic? And even just confessing that to you. No, think about it. Like, wow, because you were saying this earlier about, yeah, the world system has it set up to where we're climbing and growing and growing and growing and growing. But right now, all I want to do is be in that man's arms. All I want to do is hear his voice. All I want to do is snuggle and fuggle. I just want to fuggle. That's a word he created, by the way. Okay? That's his word. That's his word. So yeah, like the more the healing has happened here, the less... it's harder for me to focus on the work that I do. And mind you, I don't get paid to do the work that I do. There's no reward in the work that I do. No, there is no reward in the work that I do. No, you are not my reward. You are his. You are his. So I'm very distracted, I feel, because of this being... like so, like crazy fulfilling and amazing and awesome. So anyway, I'm personally feeling like crap right now.
An example of the best teacher.
I'm personally feeling like crap right now. I'm telling you my feelings that are in the moment right now, that I'm missing the mark. And so I don't want you to encourage me. Please don't blow smoke up my dress that has no room to have smoke in it anyway. Because it doesn't. It's sticking to me everywhere. But I have a couple of different directions that we can go in right now. And a lot of your questions had to do with sex. A lot of them. And there's a lot of sexual bondage in this room. A lot. There's a lot of desire in here. And then there's others that have none. And I want to share... I want to deal with those issues. All day tomorrow is about sex. We start about sex tonight and then tomorrow, all day. You want tips, we're going to give them. You want to hear different whatevers, we're going to give them. And the men are really going to get it this time. And something that we're thinking about doing is that last year I was set apart with the women and the guys were set apart with the guys. And both groups felt like it wasn't enough time. And for some reason, the guys stayed on the surface. And the girls did not. At all. We just about got naked together, honestly. Like, I used the stage as a prop. I used a banana as a prop.
Are you saying you want us guys to get
naked? No, that's not what I'm saying. But you're gonna. They made a commitment. They're gonna get very specific. Because, and here's why. We actually live. You made that commitment. I have no idea if you're gonna fulfill it or not, but. Which speaks to something else. But anyway, my point is that, and then we thought about doing an additional breakout to where myself would be with the men with Hans and whatevers. Let me put it this way. Couples have a hard time sharing because of trust. Sharing how they feel sexually. Sharing their inhibitions, their insecurities, what they're afraid of. And they're afraid to explore it. They're afraid to ask the questions. Do you know what I mean? Like, man, if I ask the question, like, am I going to be perceived? Let me give you the prime example. There was one of the husbands that wrote, and my husband would identify with this guy big time because he used to say it to me. And because of my religiosity, okay, because of my bondage that I had in trying to be holy, trying to be a good girl, trying to honor God, and I painted my own picture of what that actually looked like to honor God, right? So that meant no stilettos in the bedroom. That meant no red lipstick. That meant that his parts were off limits. That meant that every single time we would come together, I felt guilty and I felt ashamed, okay? Which is so sad. And I want you to know, let me just see it. How many of you women feel the same way? Raise your hands. Don't lie. Okay? Oh, so there's only a few of you. Then I don't know how all those questions got in. Because you're lying your butts off. No, that women feel ashamed when they're having sex with their husband. Where are you, ladies? Okay, rave. Okay, awesome. So you know who your wife is if your wife is here with you. So the rest of you, you don't feel ashamed when you're having sex? Shame doesn't ever enter the equation? Then you must have some really boring sex. You might have some really boring sex. If it's missionary, under the covers and lights out, that's some boring ass sex.
Yeah.
He just left the room. Oh, well, let's have two of them for us. Let's have the same chairs.
Oh, she's going to get me that one.
Okay, that's perfect.
So
there is a husband in here that said, you know...
I don't want to distract you, though. So
I love you distracting me. That says, you know, I like things to be... Okay, let's put it. Obviously, this man is a sapphire ruby. So he likes things to be decorated. Do you understand what yes. He likes it to be decorated. You're like, what the heck is that? Come on, you have to think of the personalities, right? Each gem has sex different. They like things different. Think about it. So the ruby is all about expensive and passion and sweat, right? Hard, fast, pounding, slapping of the... Look at, they're so embarrassed already, okay? That's a ruby, just like, okay? And if you're married to a pearl, who likes rose petals?
You have to work your way up to that.
You have to work your way up to what?
To what you were talking about.
Oh, if you're married to a pearl, you have to...
You can't start off there. You have to.
So, like, some of the ruby women want to be, like, picked up, thrown on the bed, and let's go. Like, ruby women, raise your hands. Look at these guys, like, what? Okay, but a pearl, probably not so much. Probably not so much. The pearl wants to be touched very gently, very quietly, very softly, very slowly. Wants to go the slow round. If you're married to a ruby, like, there's a conflict. Okay, now listen. Conflict is healthy. And it produces the opportunity for you to have to communicate, and communication is what? Intimacy. Communication is intimacy. So the conflict forces the creates the opportunity for the conflict so that you have to talk it through. And quite honestly, when we've had like these kinds of conversations about sex, let me back up. The guy says, I like things, you know, a little spicy, you know, like stilettos and lipstick. And yet my wife accuses me of me wanting to be married to a porn star, or me wanting to be married to a slut. And I feel like a slut if I'm going to wear heels and I'm going to put red lipstick on. Great question. Where did that come from? Exactly. That's her past and her issues that she's bringing into the relationship that is hurting the marriage. Okay? But at the same time, what's the guy's perspective? What is he supposed to do with that? I know the answer, or an answer.
Past the core foundational stuff of prayer and honor.
No, it is the foundational. Can you come over here?
No, you need your space.
No, please come over by me. Gosh. Honey, be careful, because this is where we're going next.
What was the question?
What happens? Okay, so I feel like this afternoon would be important for us to talk about conflict and how to resolve it. So the man likes stilettos and lipstick, and she accuses him of him requiring her to be a slut. Don't you remember when I walked through this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I walked through this myself. Like, literally, it's like the more and more that I was, like, studying and I don't want you to get the wrong picture, and sadly, people draw the craziest conclusions, and they forget everything I've ever taught them and think all of a sudden, Danny has gone off the deep end. No, I'm the same broad. I have the same foundational beliefs. I'm not for the same things I've not been for. Do you understand? And I am for the same things I've been for. So, like, don't look for a trap for me to say something that I'm not saying. So there was a time and a season where, again, and this is my prayer, Father, teach me how to love him. Teach me how to be a wife according to your ways, not according to culture, not according to what I think the Bible says, but I want you to teach me how, what's okay? Will you please tell me? Like every time I see sexual morality, I'm like, oh, right? So to me, I associated the whore I used to be, right? And now I'm a wife, and now I have a husband, and I have children, and I have to know, like, okay, is there a clean form of sex? Like, what's the holy form? Like, tell me what the righteous form of sex is, which those two things, like, seem very strange to put together. Right, look at this, too. Okay, you know where Jesus says, ask for whatever you wish? And it will be, have you ever asked about sex? How many of you have not thought to ask about sex? Why? Why will you not ask about sex? Right, so it's like, it's dirty. I can't ask about it. I already know what he says. Don't do it.
What?
So I went through a season of, like, Hans, like, wanting to explore, Hans wanting to, you know, spice things
challenge
up.
Challenge everything.
He does. He challenges absolutely everything. And so the more religious I was becoming, yes, the more religious I was becoming, the more in bondage I was becoming, and the less, and the more stringent I was becoming, and the more inhibited. I was becoming more and more inhibited and feeling guilty about different things that we had always done. But now all of a sudden I don't feel right about it because somebody planted a seed that it wasn't right, even though that's not scripturally backed up at all. And so I felt the same way. Like, okay, well, I would say it to him. Like, you just want me to look like a porn star.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
would accuse him of that. Yes. And the fact is that he did.
I'll tell you what changed is, for me anyway, since we're, you know, pulling the fig leaf off here. I was like, all right, Father, you're my provider. So if I have this desire, I trust you're going to provide it or you're going to deal with me, prune, remove the desire, tweak my perception, my belief system, correct whatever needs to be corrected, deal with my stuff. And in that second law of living by the law of love, I will not walk by fear, I was like, I am not going to lie
anymore.
Yeah. I am not, because lying my whole life, but no, I don't notice a beautiful photo or this or that.
Keep going. And no, I've never seen another woman.
Okay. I was basically, now I'm not, I am, this is a confession, not an endorsement.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So don't be like, oh, Hans said blah, blah, blah. No, that's crap. Like by now, we should have hammered that pretty good, right? You're not going to answer for me to him, and I'm not going to answer for you. So part of that process for me has been, it's been a journey for us in our communication of letting go of that fear of, no, I have to hold this kind of line. Now, that doesn't mean that things are acted on or what have you.
Yeah.
But we've had many conversations, and she'll ask me questions, you know, have you ever felt this or thought this or whatever? And I'll be like, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to live a lie anymore in my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust my Father to deal with me and my shit.
Yes.
And not also live this kind of like, oh, no, that's bad. Right? Under this, what I feel is kind of the Western church system that has cursed the physical, cursed the physicality, cursed our sexuality in the sense that everything is framed as bad and shameful. And to the point now where it's like, okay, where did this come from? What is the actual historical progression of all this stuff? There's no question that sexual immorality, promiscuity, broken families, all of the stuff that we can list under that is a serious, massive, first of all, where does it come from? It's part of our core human nature.
Yes.
Okay? But there's a reason why society has progressed the way that it has, and where we have a civilized union now, which I call the corporate merger and acquisition program, that is the marriage certificate according to the state of Hawaii or the state of California, the state of Texas. But if you look at the biblical definition, it's very different than that, okay? So that's a totally different thing. But there's a reason for it, and it's a good thing, right? The family unit is very important to him.
Yes.
Okay? The identity, his identity and love and value system, the parents, the father and mother are the primary transfer of that into children.
Yeah.
So if you have all this kind of crazy stuff going on, that's not good. That's not healthy. Right? And we were talking even recently, there was a day and age where, tribally speaking and going back thousands of years, but there's no getting away from these things. Okay? There's a reason why a woman is attracted to a man. And a woman loses attraction to a man. And we could talk here, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow with the guys, and she'll talk about the ladies and such, but we could talk about it here, and we can come up with all these answers that make sense here, but there's an underlying reason that's sub level from, oh, I like the way he dresses, or she puts on makeup and she smiles at me. You know, that's not the man's voice, but okay. So, but whatever. But there's underlying reasons that are deeper than that. And my basic kind of feeling is that our systems have just shoved that to the side and ignored that. And you can see it now with stuff that's going on out there. If you suppress it,
yeah,
and you lie to yourself, and you lie about it, and you try to cover it, that thing's gonna pop up.
Yeah.
It's gonna become a stronghold, you know? So for me, in this progression of just being honest and going, okay, Father, like, deal with me and my stuff, that's allowed more honesty in our relationship and in our sexual relationship. But it doesn't mean that necessarily it's just, I can confess and admit something. That doesn't mean I think it's right. Okay? Doesn't mean that, it just means that
or
I can.
Or that he wants to do it.
Or it just means that I can honestly now, I don't have to hide behind a fig leaf. This is, no, I'm this perfect Christian man and I never have a thought of X, Y, or Z. Because it's total crap. And I'm not saying there aren't guys that don't, but human nature is human nature.
So on that note, I'm so glad you said this.
I'm not, again, don't take it as a...
What I want to tell you is that something else that has brought us to more intimacy is being able to talk about that stuff, right? So me, I asked the question, okay, so I want to know what your biggest fantasy is. But I also have to have my big girl panties on to be able to hear what that is. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell you something. And this is, I have the opportunity right now to be flogged by everybody. But I'm going to say this anyway. And there's a point where we're going to part ways because you have an inbred and I have an inbred amount of belief systems. And there are some belief systems that you don't want to challenge, mostly because you're from the Western part of the world. I can have this conversation in other parts of the world and never be judged. Amongst Christians, Baptists, Catholics, forget about it. Most from America, Canada, the UK, forget about it. But I'm gonna tarry on the edge here with you for a minute. When we started to have conversations about fantasies, I want to know what your fantasies are. When he told me what one of them was, because again, he came to a place of no longer lying, but just telling the truth, right? Because I believed early on when he would say, nope, I never look at anybody, and I never saw him look at anybody, never did. He was so honorable and respectful that I never saw him. He wasn't the guy wandering, eyes wandering or anything like that, or was. Even if I would try to encourage him to go chase another girl, like, thank God he never listened to me. Not that I literally did, but I would just say, you know, go find somebody else and, you know, will you please just go cheat on me, please, so we can put ourselves out of our misery. Terrible thing to say to somebody, and I was the one that did it, which is terrible. So anyway, when he first shared that, he had told me, do you remember what you said? Because you can say it rather than me. If you don't remember, I can say it.
When
you first shared with me one of your fantasies, you had said that if nothing else, that was the most.
Just the fact that we were able to have the conversation about it was a level of intimacy, and I was like, wow, like, yeah, freedom. Not
he felt
to,
closer
not
to
judge,
me in that moment.
Be, yeah,
felt closer to me in that moment. Than he had ever felt before. Exactly, it's about being safe. So I'm going to tell you something that you can take the wrong way, and I pray to God right now that you do not, and that you are able to hear what I'm going to say. I am not for pornography. Let me just put that out there. I have a chapter in a book about pornography and the harmful effects that it has. Pornography has been around for thousands of years.
It's never not
been around. So, for example, you go to Greece, there is a city, an ancient 500-year-old city, also in Ephesus, and we saw this in two different places, where there's 10,000 square foot houses. They have underground plumbing that's, again, a 4,000 and a 4,500-year-old city that they've uncovered. They figured out air conditioning. And so here we're looking at a tax collector's house. It's 10,000 square feet. They had air conditioning, not electricity like ours, but they figured out how to circulate the air, cool air coming in from a certain place, whether how to trap the cool air. Okay, underground plumbing. And we're just like, wow. And then here is the master bedroom. And there is a mosaic of people screwing on the wall. It's a 4,000-year-old mosaic. And in the master suite, there are people screwing. I was like, dude, that is straight up pornography in the bedroom. Like, there's Playboy magazine sitting right there. Like, how crazy is that? So it was like, wow, this has been around for a long time. And here, what do we say? This is a major epidemic in our time. No. It's been around for a very long time. But let me tell you. So the current, and again, I don't like it. I don't agree with a lot of it, any of it. Have I ever enjoyed it? Yeah. 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 How did I feel afterwards? Wrong. Dirty. Not good. I don't like the images in my head. I'm confessing that to you. So when I heard my friend Mona, and I know this from my generation of my parents, so it's actually not even my parents, it's Mona's parents' generation. Mona's 10 years older than me, so this is quite a bit older. So her mom's in her 80s now. I told you yesterday, Mona's mom used to, through the grocery store, let's go get daddy a treat, and it'd be a porn magazine, right? Let's go get daddy a treat. And this, when Mona told me that years ago, I just went, I wish I had that level of security. Not because I think it's a good idea to bring Hans a porn magazine. No. But that let's say that my husband had a problem with porn, which he does not have a problem with porn, at least that I know of. Let's just say that. And in our level of relationship of what we confess to each other, maybe there's some things he still hasn't confessed. Maybe there's some things in me that I still haven't confessed. As far as I know, I have told him everything. There's probably a lot of things he wished he did not know about me. But I have told him every dirty, nasty, disgusting thing that I can remember, that I have done, that I've touched, that I've been a part of, that I've participated in. I've told him everything. And the fact that he loves and does not judge me causes me to trust him. So when I hear that a woman has the kind of security in herself that she could go, I don't think it's a good idea to do that. I'm not gonna go do that. I don't wanna be that woman. But it brings me back to a Sarah having the security within herself, or a Rachel who is barren, who has a security within herself to say, here is Bilna. Sleep with my slave girl, so we will have a child by her. Do you understand? Here's Leah, who has a security in herself that both these sisters are living under the same tent and they're sharing the same man. And then they both give to another. The point is not sharing husbands. Please do not. Are you looking at me? That's not what I'm talking about. There are people who left the last Hot Marriage Secrets and they spread a rumor that that's what I was promoting. And there's some, yeah. That I believed in, like, swinging. Like, what the? Are you kidding me? He can barely handle me. Sorry. No, not happening. Okay? So, and that somehow what I wrote in Grooming the Next Gen that I don't believe that anymore? No. I've watched porn damage, and it damaged me personally when I found it in our home almost 20 years ago. and how insecure I felt, how hurt I felt. I felt betrayed. I felt like I had been cheated on. Okay, this is how I felt. I felt less of a woman, and that now, hello, I had 5 children at that point. Micah was like 1.5 years old, and now it's like, oh gosh, am I soft? My boobs are sagging. My butt has fallen into my knees. Like, what the heck? Okay, so all of a sudden, this would like tip me off on it. Anyway, so the point is that the personal responsibility part is my insecurity. My insecurity that now lashes out in anger, that now I'm more self-conscious, right? It's insecurity that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about porn. Porn is the tool to talk about the insecurity. I want to be the woman that at some point in my life that I am secure enough that when a young, beautiful woman, like the many that are in this room, walk by my husband, knowing that he is a man and he's going to see that beautiful butt that his wife does not have. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm holding up real good up top. 2 breast lifts later. Because that's what it takes when you're this size. But anyway, the point is, yeah, I almost let that out of my mouth. Thank you.
Which one?
The one that was a 36J.
Now you did.
When I was nursing my kids. Yes.
Those are some traffic stoppers.
Which is 5 sizes bigger than I am right now. Like,
oh God.
Like just
there, we have to,
one, the twice
should there
size
be some
of my
lines
head. I know
to this
there
event?
Should be some lines.
There should
that.
Be, I think,
None.
Maybe.
Anyway, it's about security. Do you understand? That?
Probably
listen,
should be, though.
I know. So the point is that for us, men and women, we both have these insecurities. Do you understand? And if we don't grow
I have
out.
Insecurities.
What are they? Give me one.
One?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have insecurities. You're Danny Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That should tell you everything you need to know. Did you hear that ad she wrote?
I have the same one.
I have lots of insecurities.
I do too. I have many. So when you can talk about them, and we have talked about those insecurities, it takes you to a deeper level of understanding of each other, and you mature as a safe person for your spouse. And so on that note, I think it's important for you to go deeper because we're going to have lots of sex talk pretty much for the rest of the event. And your insecurities are going to be pushed on. They're going to be pushed on. Do you hear me? Because once you hear also from the technical, rabbinical, not forget the rabbi part, the Torah, the Bible, what the Bible actually says, right? What it celebrates versus all the rules that we put on it, okay? So when Hans would be like, come on, like, what's up? Like, just because I want to spice it up a bit, me, again, not even acknowledging Ruby Sapphire, bored easy. He's like, can I take pictures of you? At first, it's like, wow, that's like really, really honoring, until I found out what kind of pictures he wanted to take of me.
I'll make you a movie star, baby.
So that ruffled some people's religious whatevers right there, okay? And it ruffled mine. It really did. It was like, oh my gosh, how is that not? Let me tell you something. Sex is holy between a husband and a wife. Sex is holy. Come on, wrap your head around it. Some of you, did you see some of the, like, what the? It is. The word holy, kadosh, set apart. Set apart. Sex between us is set apart. It is blessed. It is blessed. It is blessed by the Creator. He made us for it. He made us to enjoy it, to desire it. And if we don't, we've done something to the desire.
And it's been said that it's spiritual warfare.
Yes.
Which I would have to agree with that, because when you're married, you're, you know, two, there's that
it's a spiritual
verse
act.
About that Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. Oh, God. Well, see, look at your mind. What are you doing? That they can fight. Now, I'm going to try to be serious now after that. That they can fight. You guys know the verse I'm talking about? Yeah. So there's a strength that happens in marriage and in that relationship. And when you're doing battle in the world and you're fighting against here, and you're fighting against everything out here and financial pressures and struggles and career pressures and struggle and kids, you know, all of those things, in that moment together, all of that disappears.
Yes.
You know, and it falls away. And so then if we don't have that in our marriage relationship, and this isn't about comparing to your perception of what you think she's talking about all weekend or I'm talking about or whatever. It's about asking him what's right for us, right? And when that's not there, you're doing battle without a major weapon. You know, you're just like you're handicapped. So there's a whole lot more to marriage than a sexual relationship. But don't let anybody kid you. Like, if that's not there, then it's not the fullness of what it can be.
So for those of you with those inhibitions, I want you to press against them. Press against the inhibitions. Ask, why is that in me? Why have I lost my desire for it? Why do I clam up when it comes to that time? Why do I do that? What is that really all about? And the thing I will have, it's fear is the root of it. Inhibitions are rooted in fear. What would happen if you give yourself permission to push through the fear and get on the other side? There are some of you that you've clammed yourselves up for so long that once you get released, you're going to be a wild one. Joy, listen to me. I told this to Linda Potgieter, who would have sex once every 3 years with her husband. And I told her, when you get this, you're going to become a wild woman. Is your wife a wild woman, Jan? Do you have a wild woman now? She's making up for the 13 years of not having sex with her husband. She is making up for lost time. And she's gotten really fit in the meantime as well. She's a much happier person. Anyway, when we have suppressed it, I want you to, both of you, pray. What inhibitions have I created all for myself? What have I shut off for myself that you have blessed? Where do you want me to go? Where do you want us to go? Give me the trust. Courage to step beyond what I know. So what if you were to forget everything you know about sex, everything you know about marriage, and you just let it all down and start fresh? What would it look like? So tomorrow we'll talk about sex. We have a private meeting with the girls, the guys with the guys, and then we were thinking that perhaps we'll see how it goes. I'll be with the guys. And the guys are also going to come. These two guys will come over with me, with the girls, to kind of break the ice and learn from maybe the man's perspective what they don't know. What do you think about that? Laura, I love you. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so we can go. Here's one direction I would like to go in right now. I want you to write down three weaknesses you have. Three weaknesses you have about yourself. No, not necessarily sexual. If you have a sexual weakness, you could write that one down.
Can a weakness be an insecurity?
A weakness can be an insecurity.
Or a fear.
And a fear, yeah. But weaknesses, I'll give you one. Like, I have a tendency that everything's got to be super routine for me. That's a weakness of mine. It's also a strength, but it is a weakness of mine. I like everything to be in order and it has to be perfect. That is a major weakness of mine. So I like to be corrected when I'm in that place. I don't want to live in my weaknesses. I want to live in my strengths. So I want you to write down three weaknesses that you have. If you can't think of them, just think in terms of gems. If you think in terms of gems, what your primary personality is, I gave you strengths and weaknesses with that, right? So you know, use that list for you. This is my weakness. And that weakness has an impact on your one flesh, right? But we're not going to talk about that yet. Just yet. Just write down three weaknesses. And now I want you to write down three of your spouse's strengths. This is a marriage seminar. What would be three strengths you would want in a spouse? Those of you who are single, I want you to imagine that there is a spouse waiting for you. So use every single exercise in terms of that avatar, if you will. Okay, here's what I want you to do. What did you notice in your list? Your weaknesses, how many of your spouse's strengths fill in your weaknesses? Isn't that crazy? You think that's by accident? It's by design. You complete each other. So here's what you're going to do. You are going to confess your weaknesses to your spouse. And this is permission. I give you permission that if I'm living in my weakness, I want you to let me know I'm there. Because when I'm in my weakness, I don't know I'm in my weakness. Listen to me. When you are in your weakness, you don't know you're there. Listen to me. When you are operating in your weakness, you don't know you're there. It's your blind spot. You don't know you're there, so you can't even see that you're in your weakness. He created our counterpart to help us stay out of our weakness. And if I try to change my weaknesses, I'm going to give up some of my strengths. Because my own strengths counterbalance my weaknesses as well. Do you understand? So for example, the disruptors in the room, those sapphires in the room, the creative people, the think out of the box people, if you lock those people up in a routine, they couldn't be creative anymore. Because super rigid routine people are not creative people. Do you understand? But if we try to make and force the routine person to be creative, now I'm no longer routine. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have strengths and we have weaknesses. And if you don't know what yours are, you're a blind guide. When you're in it, you don't know you're in it. And this is your opportunity right now for you as one flesh to help, again, this is conflict, to help each other out. If you're in a weakness, I give my husband permission. I get too rigid. Too scheduled, and if I ask too many questions and I spend way too much time in research.
Do you have a quota?
I have a quota. Remember, he's given me a quota. And he'll tell me, usually at 5:30 on a date night, honey, you've already reached your question quota for the week. It makes me laugh, honestly. I just laugh so hard because he's awesome to say that. So I want you to confess your weaknesses to your spouse in this next segment. So we're going to give you 3 minutes to talk about your weakness. So ladies, you first this time. I want you to tell your spouse what your weaknesses are. And if you're willing to have the courage to give permission, I give you permission if you see me in my weakness to get me out of it. Just tell me. Let me know I'm in it because it's my blind spot and I can't see it. I don't know that I'm there. Okay? That's if you want to. Takes trust to do that. And by the way, listen to me. Write this down. Trust is a choice. Good. Trust is a choice. Trust is a choice. It has to first start to say, I choose to trust you. But Danny, what if the trust has been violated? It's going to be violated again. And what are you going to choose to do? Trust. The reason why things get escalated is because we're throwing grenades of records of wrong versus living in, I'm a new creature today. But he has PTSD. He's a new creature today. And if he's confessing, I'm so sorry, I did it again. I screwed that up really bad. If there's remorse and there's brokenness and there's owning my mistake, you have no other option than to do what? To forgive. To release and say, you're a new creature. You're a new creature. And vice versa. I keep screwing this thing up. I keep dishonoring, disrespecting. If I don't own it and I'm not broken in my, I'm sorry, I've really screwed this up, which I had to confess a couple days ago about something. Like he's been telling me, it's terrible. I'm trying to come up for air on the house, right? It's like, dude, I'm trying to come up for air right now. And I'm like, but dude, what's the art you want on the wall? You said you want art. What art do you want on the wall? Okay, you said you want white couches. Like where, like what kind of, when can we go and sit on the couch? He's like, dude, I'm trying to come up for air right now. Wow. I'm drowning. Like I need air. I've been under this huge project for 2 years. I just trying to come up for air. I'm wanting to finish, right? An emerald, it's got to get done. It's got to be finished, sealed up, finished, done. What's my checklist? I've got it all finished. I am dishonoring him. And it hit me on the airplane, reading your questions. Yeah, reading your questions. I was like, please forgive me. I have not been listening to you. You're coming up for air. You are like not being able to breathe. And I'm like, what size white couches?
You're pushing me back down.
Pushing him right back down. Okay, what kind of art do you want in the bedroom? Okay, look at these mirrors. You want a mirror in our bedroom? A big mirror in the bedroom. Enormous mirror in the bedroom. Do you like this one? Do you like this one? Do you like this one?
Well, we might only have another couple months or years left, so, you know.
You weren't supposed to say that. Anyway, so do you understand? I was still pressing him for answers and details and what he wants to order, but
he was... enjoy the view.
He was telling me, let's try angles, not just view. Anyway, full view. Anyway, so I was not honoring, stop.
Okay.
Yes, I'm fine. Anyway, I wasn't honoring him and I wasn't hearing him. I'm trying to get my list done. Do you understand? So I dishonored my husband in that process. And needed to say, I am so sorry. I mean, it broke me. I literally like busted out in tears right next to a newlywed couple. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've done that. It's so terrible. I felt horrible. And especially the picture. Dude, I'm trying to catch air right now. Like I'm underwater. I'm trying to catch air. And I kept pushing his head down. You know, he'd get close to the surface, back down there. It's an awful thing to do.
I need to get my win before the next set comes in.
Yes. If you've been around the ocean a lot, you know what that feels like. If you've been tumbled by this terrible, scary feeling. Anyway, so confess the weakness, right? So mine is like, I want to get done. I want to get it done. I want to get it done. I want to get it done. I got to get the details. I got to finish it, right? That is a strength and a weakness because I can exasperate my husband. So confess your weaknesses, ladies. First, 3 minutes, go. All right, hold on. Now I want the husbands to speak into the wives' life. We all have blind spots. Are you hearing me? We all have blind spots. If you were at the last two first steps, I did this exercise with you. Put up your hands. Put them in front of you. Can you see your hands? Now pull them back. Can you see them? You can't see your hands. Does it mean they're not there? But who can see them? Everybody else can see them, but you can't, okay? So he can see my weaknesses And there might be blind spots that I have that I don't know I have. I know he has my best interest in mind. So I want to hear, what do you see? What do you see that I am doing to myself? I'm harming myself. I'm hurting myself. I'm walking in an insecurity. Do you understand? So husbands, 3 minutes. I want you to speak to your wife, whether she gave you the three and you said, I agree, and whatever's. So let's, again, we're just creating the environment for the conversation to go to a deeper place. Go for it. Okay, husbands, now I want you to, wow, there's people crying. I was crying. Husbands, now I want you to speak the strengths that you see in your wife to her. What strengths do you see? Speak them directly to her. Okay. Now, we're going to reverse the entire cycle, which means that ladies, no, men are going to confess their weaknesses. 3 minutes, go. Okay. Stop. We're working through the exercises just like you are, obviously. I'm trying to honor my husband who wants to keep talking. Okay, so now, ladies, to your husbands, I would prefer that he asks if he wants to, wants to know if there's any blind spots or what does she see about the weaknesses that he confessed. 3 minutes. Okay, ladies, the strengths that you see in your man. Go pee. I've done everything that I need to do. Everything else is for tomorrow. So we can do a little bit of Q&A for about an hour. You good with that?
Yeah.
How many of you would like to do some Q&A?
Yeah.
How many of you don't?
Nice.
Isn't being honest awesome? Isn't being honest awesome? All right. How many of you don't care? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Okay. Let's check it. Okay. That'd be great.
Say something real quick.
Yeah. You guys go ahead and pick. Don't pick favorites. And don't, hey, go to the back of the room and work yourself forward, because we have a tendency of paying attention to the front of the room. All right, Hans has something to say, and it's just better when it comes out of his mouth.
I just want to encourage you guys. There's times even in our relationship today where maybe an issue will come up, or a disagreement, and it's uncomfortable, and it's totally different than it used to be. But even today, because the way it used to be was that we couldn't even deal with those things without it turning into a raging argument, and such a threat.
That's the word, man.
Threat to my existence. Threat to my self-esteem. What am I doing wrong? You know, and it just starts that cycle. So now I'm fighting two battles. I'm fighting this battle plus this. And it just turns into a downward spiral. And it took me 20 years plus, still learning, that 90% of it doesn't need an answer. There's a lot of things that just need to be left.
Yes.
And it's okay.
It's true.
And for 20 years, I felt like I had to give an answer. I had to have an answer for myself. I had to solve the problem. I had to fix the situation. I had to say the right thing. I had to do whatever it took to get out of this discomfort and this pain that's going on right now, or this uncomfortable conversation or whatever. And all of that was fear-driven. because I couldn't just rest in that discomfort.
Yeah. Ooh.
Because it was a threat. It was a threat to my world. So 90% of it didn't need an answer, shouldn't be given an answer, and all I was doing was making it worse. Because I couldn't just rest in Him in the midst of the storm. And just put, what happened to Peter when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the water? He started to sink. So sometimes that's the only thing we need to do. Many times,
meaning that's the answer.
That's the only answer.
Yep.
We're not supposed to have an answer of what to say right now in that moment to solve that problem, to stop this discomfort, to stop this pain, to solve this whatever.
Yep.
So I would just encourage you, because I know that going through something like this can, you know, stir stuff up, and you know, things aren't. You know, when you're in the middle of something, it could feel like that's everything.
Yeah.
And it could feel very overwhelming, and we can get into a state. I know that I would get into a state where I would just feel like, the whole world's ending.
It's a whirlwind.
Yeah, it really is. And so
it's like a tornado.
I'm just going to say, like, it's okay. It's not going to stay that way. This too shall pass.
And be still and know that I am God.
Yeah, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And that is the answer.
But especially us guys, we get really torn up when we can't solve the problem. And we have to come to that place where we accept that not all problems are meant to be solved. In fact, the solving of the problem is in not solving the problem.
Say that again.
The solving of the problem is in not solving the problem.
Yep. Yep. Mona has the first question.
Coming from 25 years of pastoring a Baptist church.
Nice. You've heard it all, man.
Well, not being a very good Baptist just because of the damnation that was inside of it.
Yeah.
Is one thing. So we were whatever you had in May, the second one, I guess. And a week later, we decided to get married after going through a very rough divorce for me. And a suicide on her husband from her.
Wow.
So I heard you, and I guess I know the answers theologically, but practicality, when we were talking about it last night, when we're so close in to lots of pain,
yes,
lots of sin,
yes,
but yet, and again, not justifying it, but being 50 years old and miserable and not wanting to live the rest of my life that way.
Yes.
It's easier to confess something that was 20 years ago.
Yep.
And to get healing for it. And I don't care which one of you answer this question, but, you know, one of my biggest struggles, and maybe ours, but certainly mine, is giving myself permission to live again. I grew up a lot like Hans. My dad left when I was an infant. I've outdone everybody on both sides of the family, and every time for years that I outdid them, I would self-destruct.
Yeah.
But now, how do you give yourself permission to live again?
So good. It's for you. How do you give yourself permission to live again?
No, hold on. Define live again.
There you go.
you know, we're on the brink of something that's really amazing, but because of guilt, for me, three adult daughters who the same wife that manipulated me now has manipulated them. How do you go forward? How do you begin to pick up the pieces and live again?
So live again means...
give yourself permission maybe or
okay, give
get
yourself,
through all the shit to live again.
Yeah, yeah. So give yourself permission to live again means that you're a new creation in Christ every day. That as far as from the east to the west, your sins are remembered no more. That you have the mind of Christ that's being transformed into the image of the Son of the living God. Yes or no? That your past doesn't equal your future. You're a 50-year-old man. 50-year young man. You have your entire life ahead of you.
Yes.
What do you think the answer is? How do you give yourself permission?
Here, can you stand up and say your name, please?
No, my name's Doug Harold.
Doug?
Yep.
And, okay. Doug, I think it's important to answer his questions. And here's what I'm going to say. Are you a new creature or not?
Yes.
Is your truth, as far as the east is from the west, he remembers no more?
Yes, but you still have to deal with...
No. There is no but. Is it the truth or not?
It is the truth.
It's just not your truth yet.
Well,
so you know it theologically.
No, I get it theologically, but practically...
Hold on.
Are you saying that there's still the seed and the consequences that are still part of your life that you're dealing with and managing?
I guess you could say it's been hell, like in a blender.
Exactly.
So yeah, at what point do you begin to live again? Everybody else, I mean, I recognize who I am in Christ. I really do. But coming from the Baptist, everybody else has damned me to hell 50 different ways. And coming from being raised by a mom, the only thing I was born and raised in the middle of Kentucky. I was called Alvina's little bastard child. I mean, divorce in 1966, not like it is now. Mm-hmm. So all of my psyche has been to be for everybody else what they thought I should be.
Yep.
And then at 50, when I was in Cancun, Mexico, I realized I was the most miserable person in the world.
Yep.
So living with that, it's still real. I mean, it's still real with my daughters. It's still real with my, you know, the bombardment. I mean, yep. Literally... one, maybe two, of my friends of a 25-year ministry reached out to me.
Gosh, we get it.
And the one that did, that was closest to me, passed away. And so it's just, literally, it's been a shitstorm of a whole new life now.
Here's the answer to how you live. Okay? You get real. You get honest, and you stop. What you do is just start thanking him for the hell that you may still be in. As soon as you start thanking him for it, you're positioning. You're totally changing because you're saying that you have these. And I get it. Like, that's all I've been talking about the last day and a half is all these programs and all these mindsets and all these this's and that's.
Step out of being a victim.
If I'm still sowing from seed that reaped or consequences or whatever, because the damnation to hell, we can experience a ton of that here on earth. We don't have to die to experience hell. Anybody ever experienced hell before? So it's when we start thanking him even for the crap and asking him, what is the lesson, Father? I remember praying every day, Father, what do you want me to learn from this? Father, how do I change the seed? How do I sow different seed? Even in relationships. You have people from your present and from your past that are speaking things to you. Is that your father's voice? Or is that the voice of the father of lies? Because he will speak through other people.
Oh, yes.
Even through somebody who is your closest person. Because it may not be him, it may be your mind and the way you hear things. So I get a choice. He gave me free will. I get to choose right then and there. Am I going to believe that? Well, you were just this. You did this, da 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 da. Or am I going to believe my true father and his word and what he says? So I mean, for me, it was just getting to that point where I literally was asking him to kill me. To where that pain and the end of the rope was so serious that I just did not want to live any longer halfway. Like knowing it here, but not really believing it.
Yeah.
And that started that journey. But I mean, there are things that I am still dealing with today in my life that I can't just flip a magic switch and make it go away.
Yep.
And it is a royal pain in my ass.
Yep.
Like it sucks.
Yep.
Sucks energy, sucks life out of me. It's, you know, it's hard. It's not as hard as it was a couple of years ago, but it's still there. I can't make it go away. There's no magic prayer, no magic dance, no magic whatever I can do that's just going to make it poof and be gone.
Yep.
So I have to thank him for it and ask him, what do you want me to learn from this? Father, let me not get through this and not learn every single thing you want me to learn out of this.
Sometimes our consequences will follow us for life, Doug. You know my story about my teen pregnancy, right? That daughter just got married for the fourth time, okay? My grandchildren have been through hell. They've been through hell. They've had four fathers in their life. It is not the perfect setup, but that's what sets us up for failure. It is the perfect setup, and that it has created opportunity for us to be the only stability in those kids' lives, because currently, at the moment, don't know how long they're going to be living by us, but they're there. So that's the thank you, Lord. I can continue to beat myself up for all the, damnation from the church and my teen pregnancy and the manipulation that happened and who stole my child and all of that crap. Or I can simply say, this is challenging me to love now a fourth son-in-law. To watch my daughter, maybe she'll be abused this time, maybe she won't. There's definitely going to be high drama. It's guaranteed. It is. It's guaranteed. It's going to be high drama. Why? Because that's what she does. That's what she is. That's who she is. That's what she likes to be. That is what it is. And so the consequences that are in our life, sometimes they're there, I believe, to help us grow, to mature, and to be able to handle it, mostly to say, God, she's yours, and this is in my life, and I'm going to choose the highest law, which is love. I'm going to choose love. So your kids who have rejected you because of all the wonderful Baptist, beautiful programming, and of course the Amish that are here, who their entire families have totally ostracized them. There's a bunch of them. Where are you? These are Amish people who have been totally ostracized by their families. They lost everything because they wanted to seek God. because they wanted to seek it outside of that. They lost their businesses. They lost their families. They're gossiped about still to this day. So meaning, how many of you have had these kind of things happen to you? We've had people like cut you off, cut you down, annihilate you like crazy. Do you know that's why we're all together? Right. Do you realize that? That's why we're all together. We have all been accused. We all lived in the system and felt the pain and the suffering of the system and said, forget it. I can't live like this anymore. This is a bunch of baloney. And we came out of that system and we found each other somehow, right? That's because of God, right? That's because he's faithful. So I want you to know you're in really good company, but at the same time, refuse to be a victim. Refuse to identify yourself as a victim. Refuse to live in that. That's what they did to me. Is no, Father, thank you for what you allowed me to walk through. Because let me tell you something. Do you know why we're on this stage right now? Because of the hell we have walked through. That's why. And it would have been so easy for both of us to secretly get a divorce, move to different countries, live with lots of money in private. But our whole life has been public. And partially the reason for that is because of you, it forced us to have to work through the crap we had to work through. Versus saying, gosh, why can't we be like most people who could just like bow out? But no, we'll be judged by millions of people if we end up in a divorce, right? We'll be judged by millions of people if we fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks, right? If I show my knee, if my ankles are showing, to be judged by millions of people. God forbid anything else. So anyway, Doug, you're in good company. I refuse, Hans refused to be a victim. It's about what can we get out of this? What am I going to get out of the situation of now having my daughter being married four times? What am I going to do moving forward? What I know, my 13-year-old, she just turned 13, granddaughter, she's drop-dead gorgeous. She's busty. She's had four fathers in her life. Her confession to me is, I don't have a dad. I don't have a father. There's been four men walking in and out of my life. I don't have a dad. I've realized it. I tell my friends, I don't have a father. Like, but I'm her Nona. She ain't gonna hear squat from me. I will speak it. She's like, she got really weirded out by me in the last camp out. She's like, I don't want to go to Nona's anymore. I told her my whole story, and it, like, weirded her out. Oh, well. Anyway, so I planted seed. It needed to be said. It is what it is. So, Doug, you're in good company, number one. You've been hearing all weekend, refuse to be a victim, have the identity of a son. I'm going to tell you, God restores. He restores. He restores. He restores. And that is what's coming. So you're in a Job experience. What's the rest of the Job story? Restoration. So if you stay in this place of, all right, Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for what you are teaching me. And I'm going to choose the higher love law of love. I'm going to choose to forgive. I'm going to choose to release. I'm going to choose to walk in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. I'm a free man. I'm a new creature. He is my Father. He establishes what my reputation is. It doesn't matter what they all say. Can you figure this one out? Dude, you can't control what anyone thinks or says about you. You can't control what anyone... Come on, dude. You lived it for 25 years in bondage as a pastor. Could you control what everyone thought about you? No, you spoke perfectly. You studied hard. You presented yourself perfectly. You stayed away from sin. You were in bondage. That's a living hell, and no one could relate to you. All of them that were sitting in your pews were lying their butts off. They were living the same. They were out there messing around with all kinds of stuff, but acting perfect on a Sunday, knowing what to talk right. No, thank God you've come into the light. They might all still be in darkness. How do we know? They're judging you. Anyone who is judging, anyone who is gossiping, anyone that is slandering, anyone that is sowing dissension is in darkness. They're not in the light. Just because someone thinks they're in the light doesn't mean they're in the light. To be honest with you, most people who think they're in the light are in straight up darkness. They don't even know what light is. So the fact that you have that question, the fact that you're here, brother, get ready for a whole new life of freedom. How do you live it out? Live it. Just live it and don't give a rip about what anyone says or thinks. Next question. Jen, you got it? Question. Hands up on the side of the road. done. We're finished. We can just all go have sex. Oh, there we go. Okay, questions over here on this side. Raise your hand. Mona, pick your person. Do not put the mic in the hand yet because he's not going yet. Yes, sir.
Doug's wife, he mentioned that about the suicide of her previous husband. Can you address that with her? Because that's a relationship between the both of them. There's two of them.
Meaning that her husband committed suicide?
Right, then that is not her fault. Mm. And she deserves to be able to move forward. And you deserve a new start. And you do have a future.
Right on,
keep
bro.
Going, keep going. There's something you need to speak to her more. Who is she? Speak to her identity.
You are a child of the Most High God, and He loves you, and He will never forsake you.
Stand up, woman. Hey, hey.
And whether you know it or not, right now in this room, it may not be outside this room, but right now inside this room, you're surrounded by people who are pulling for you and people that have gone through similar circumstances as you, people who have lost people that they loved, but they're still here. There's a reason why you're still here.
You're not an accident. You're a stand up. Husband, stand up. Face her. Tell her you're a good woman. Again. Again. You're an honorable woman. You're a talented woman. Well, I'm glad that we're all together while you're walking through it fresh. And got married. He got himself a younger woman, too. That's right. That's right. Good job. Okay, go ahead. Wait, questions on the left side? Put your hand up. Jen already picked her person. Go.
So I got a question coming in about 10 seconds. Been married, happily married, 14 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And in that time, thank God, always been faithful to my wife. However, in the beginning part of marriage, she would catch me, like, looking at other girls, you know, and she would bring to my attention. And I realized that, hey, you know, that's something that I had a problem with that I needed to figure out because I was a big flirt before I got married, and it's something that almost came natural to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
habit.
Yeah, and I've been working on that throughout my whole marriage.
Nice.
And it's got way better, and I feel like it's not an issue at all anymore. But it's caused a lot of tension in my marriage because, like, you know, my wife loves to dance. I love to dance. We go out, and I can't tell you how many times we just end up going home because it's a fight because my eye may have glanced, mm-hmm. you know, and I rather just avoid it all.
Yeah.
I could be in a room, a beautiful girl walks by, and I'm hoping that she doesn't walk in front of me because this might ruin our date. And I'm sorry, my love, I'm picking this up. I know you're going to get pissed at me, but.
Okay, hold on. How many of you men have that same fear? Wait, put up your hands, men. Ladies, are you paying attention? Ladies! What do I want you to pay attention to right now?
All the men.
Listen, I'll be the first to admit that I watch his eyes, have watched his eyes, to see. If he's looking. And I'm going to be the first to admit that that is my insecurity. That is my problem. That is my weakness. And if I continue to do that, I am creating a prison for my husband, and I am sowing bad seed. I am not sowing good seed. I'm not sowing trust. I'm not sowing honor. I'm not speaking to his higher nature. That his desire, woman, listen to me. Look at me, young lady. Do you believe that he wants not to have his eyes stray? You can hand the mic to your wife.
I just didn't understand the word.
Do you believe that he tries hard to stop his natural nature?
To be honest, no. Because...
No, hold on.
Okay.
Are you in his eyes?
No.
Are you in his mind?
No.
Are you in his heart? Well, you just told me you're God. You just told me you're God. Because God is the only one that knows his heart, his mind, and where his eyes go. God is the only one that knows. So what is going on in you is control. Insecurity, distrust, self-rejection. Do you not feel like you're good enough? Exactly. So you don't feel like you're good enough. Do you feel like you're pretty enough? Answer the question.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty enough.
Do you feel like you're sexy enough? Be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, he tells me all the time.
Say what? I don't care what he tells you all the time.
I said yes.
So why are you worried? What are you scared about?
Well, in a way...
What are you afraid of?
I tell him all the time that it's not that he can look. It's not like, because I do it all the time too. Because we are designed to appreciate the beauty. But what I don't like is when we go clubbing. Gosh, it's hard to talk about people.
No, it's good because there's a whole bunch of other people that can relate to what you're saying. When you go clubbing.
Okay, when I'm standing next to him and he's going like this in front of this, I feel like, it just, I don't know, like it just, I feel like I tell him why he does that and he just laughs and does it even more. So I feel like it's not even about appreciating her beauty. I feel like it's lust. This is hard.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, husband, is it lust?
Like I mentioned before.
Answer the question. It's yes or no.
No. No.
Checking out a woman's butt and you're taking a nice long look, is it lust?
If you would have asked me that 10 years ago, 14 years ago, I would have said yes.
So why is it not now that you can take a full, like, let me ask you a question. Let's reverse the table. So there is your wife on the dance floor. And this hot, fine man.
Don't use me as an example. What the fuck? Don't pull me into this.
There's your bride. And dancing right next to y'all is a nice, rich, fine, powerful, big shoulders, great ass, thunder thighs, and he knows how to move like Jagger.
It's definitely not me.
Definitely not him. He a white guy. guy. Okay. If the tables were turned and she did the same exact thing that you do, how would you feel?
This is a thing, Danny.
No, this is no thing. No, I'm so sorry. You're going to answer my question. How would you feel?
I would be upset and I would be jealous and she would have reason to feel that way.
Who would have reason to feel that way?
I've given her reasons to feel the way she feels.
Yes.
I've done things and I that's what I started with. I was like that. I don't deny that. I've told her, you know what? You have reason to feel the way you feel. But that was then. I'm not that guy anymore. I haven't been that guy for decades. But she's still holding on to things that happened 14, 10 years ago. That's what I'm saying. Give me the freedom to be anew.
Okay, yes, I agree. So are you describing what you just described to me? Was this a recent act?
No, we were just talking about like
14 years ago?
The homework you gave, you know, what triggers.
I know, past. But hold on. I'm asking the question. So the last time you guys went dancing, did he do the whole long look checking out somebody?
No.
Oh, so you're telling me a story from 14 years ago?
He is.
You said this is the way he checked her out. Was that a story from last week, last month, a year ago, or 14 years ago?
It's happened recently.
And he's saying, no, it hasn't happened recently.
Yeah. He says that guys are wired to look, and he is scared of certain things that of me, but I tell him, like, I'm not, I'm not there anymore either. Like, I feel like when I was 14 years ago either, I don't have that insecurity anymore.
No, like, yes, you do. Yes, I feel you like, absolutely do. Hold on. No,
I don't have the insecurity when I say, like, he's going to cheat on me. Like, I do it. I tell him. I think, like your husband says, they're beautiful.
Just stop, okay? Well, this can't continue like this.
Okay.
Okay? Because this is the part of the Q&A that is not fun for other people. What is the reason why you asked the original question?
I feel like they need a different perspective because this has been a topic that...
You feel like you need somebody else to tell you what is right or what is wrong?
I need a different perspective.
Yes or no?
Yes.
You don't.
Yep.
You don't. You know. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
So ask him for strength to do the right thing. Stop trying to cover your shit. He's your provider.
Yeah.
He's your protector.
Yeah.
He's your cover.
Yeah.
You don't need somebody else to tell you.
Yep.
She is your wife. You love her. She loves you. You're not perfect. She's not perfect.
Yep.
But you don't need somebody else to answer this question for you. Right?
You just want someone else to answer the question for you.
There's no answer. You know the answer. No.
Hold on.
Do you or do you not know what is right?
I feel like I'm doing what's right.
No, I didn't ask you for an explanation. I'm asking you yes or no. Do you or do you not know what is right? Okay, done. So the issue is, Father, give me the strength. Confess your shit to him. Because as long as I'm defending my crap,
yep,
he's not going to cover me.
Yep. Because you're already covering yourself.
As long as I got to be right. But if I just confess, I'm foolish. I'm FOS. Now I'm free. Now I'm free. It's easier. It's easier way. So, next one.
Yes.
We're moving on.
Okay.
Got to move on. Got to bounce.
I got more of a comment than a question. Yesterday when Danny was talking about how she met Hans and their life story, and I got so distracted because I believe marriage is created to show us about a relationship between us and God,
yep,
the church and God. He's coming back for his bride.
Yep.
And I'm listening to Danny's story, and I my mouth just drops open. Said, this is the church. We use him for our play toy because we want what he do. We like him because he makes us feel good. He want him to provide for us. And then we get married to him because we want his name, because we don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. And that's all we want from him. Stay away.
Mm.
But as I listen to their journey, I have hopes that the bride will someday relate passionately with the groom.
That's right. That's right. And look who he picked. Look who he picks, right? Look what he takes. He takes filth and covers her, restores her. It's Ezekiel. Literally, our story and our journey is the book of Ezekiel. It is, like, straight up. I love the way he loves. It's absolutely amazing. It's awesome. Okay, next question.
Hey, Danny Hans. My question is, I love my wife. I want to honor my wife. And one of the things that we've been discussing is currently we're renting, and we're going to be, the owners basically said, you've got to be out by a certain amount of time. And so we're contemplating either purchasing the house or moving and renting another place. My desire is to rather purchase another house as an asset, as a rental, to then use that money towards and still continue to rent. My wife's heart is to want to have her own place, and I want to honor that. I want to move towards that. But my kind of knee-jerk reaction, my first thing is, like, I want to build assets to then pay for our own house. Her thought is, I'd like to just have our own house and then be building towards those assets. What would you advise in that situation? And I imagine it's going to be different.
Do you feel like you've listened to her heart?
Not entirely. No.
Thank you for being honest.
Yes.
Because listening to her words is different than listening to her heart.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Okay. So that would be the place to start. Because if you're busy convincing yourself and rationalizing and justifying and explaining yourself to yourself first. Because why? We're protecting ourselves. We have to be right. You know? It's really hard to hear somebody else's heart. honor the Creator, honor His creation, requires that I set aside being right for the law of love.
Yeah.
And it also requires that sometimes we have to hold our rightness very loosely.
Yes.
So then after that, then it's father time, you know? It's praying. Because let me ask you this. What if after you listen to her heart, you still think you're right? Then what? Then what do you do?
Have long father conversations.
Exactly. Deal with me.
You want Hans and Danny to tell you the answer?
No.
Because no, the answer we give you might be the wrong answer.
Wrong answer for you. Mm-hmm. Can I speak to the female side of this?
So after that part... After that, then it's time with Him. When we get to the place of our sonship relationship with Him, where we know the fulfillment and the completeness and the blessing of walking with Him as a son in the law of love instead of being ruled by fear, there's no other place we want to be. Being with Him in His direction is a million times better than being where we know we're right. So sometimes we can be right, and He tells us something different. Yeah. Or we can be wrong, and He tells us something different.
Yeah.
My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not follow. Our number one goal in life should be to get to where we can hear His voice.
Yeah.
Because if we're hearing His voice, we are on the path. Yes. There is no other path.
Yes.
Then, and only then, will we have the strength as a man to say, yes, honey, that is a great idea. I don't actually agree with it, personally, but that's okay, because I might be wrong. Let's do what you want to do. Or, honey, I've prayed about this, I've thought about this, I'm so thankful that you've shared with me what you've shared with me. And right now, what I feel is that we're supposed to do it this way. We need Him, His word. We need to stand on the rock of His word to be able to say yes or no. Because without that, we're just...
Just like Jagger.
Because without that, our desire to, what do you want, babe? Just, Our desire to have that smile. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about with your girl? There's nothing like that. We want that. Feels good. And we can say yes to things we shouldn't say yes to. Because we want that, man. That validates me as a man. Go ahead.
Thank you. So on the female side of that, to echo, it's the same. To hold what you think is right very loosely. And something that I taught our kids was when they bring a request, that if they're clinging to it, it's a good chance it's not a good time to do it. If you got your heels dug in the ground, it's probably a big sign that it might not be a good idea. But if your heart is positioned that whatever it is that you feel is the right thing to do, I will honor it. And I will bless you, and I will follow you. Ladies, I will follow you. I will follow you anywhere. I will live with you anywhere. So look, what happens in marriage, it is, well, I will love you if you listen to me. I will love you if you take me to the home I want to live in. That's conditional. That's heading for a divorce. That is the makings of a boring and average marriage because it shuts him down. But when you bring your request to him, you preface it with, I want to share how I feel, and I have an idea or I have feelings about what you're, you know, thinking about, but I want to tell you up front that whatever you decide, I'm going to follow you, and I'll be with you. I ask that you just pray about this. When Hans went to build our dream home, this was a major, big financial conversation, and we did not have the same positioning on debt at all, not at all. He gave me the opportunity to share how it felt to be in debt for the first time ever in our married life, for me to share what it felt like to have, for him to take a construction loan out and to finance this enormous house that I get to clean. Fortunately, there's only 3 toilets this time. 2.5 bathrooms, 2 showers to clean, 3 toilets. It ain't no kitchen. We don't have a kitchen. We have a bar and a restaurant. We do not have a kitchen. You got to get that right, Jackie. It's a bar and a restaurant. We do not have a house. We have a little boutique hotel with 2 bedrooms, a bonus room, and 2 offices. So anyway, so when he gave me that, I'm telling you that was so much trust that was built in this conversation. And he used patience with me in that. And it was a tearful conversation where I told him how I felt and how much pressure I felt from it. And I just said, please just pray about paying cash for this. And if you pay cash, I do not want to know how much you're spending. I don't know how much it is. I don't want to know how big it is. At all. La, 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 la. Because I am retarded financially in the opposite direction. He and I are complete opposites financially. I have a very low, like abnormally low, much lower than average economic drive. It's like on the floor. Hans is on the ceiling. Huge gap for finances. So, but in that conversation, it was whatever you decide, I trust that you're going to make the right decision, and I will follow you. He chose to pay cash. What has that done in your wife? And what has that done with us?
Yeah, major. But I had to pray about it.
But what did it?
I didn't
out
want
to, be,
to.
No.
Because that's a lot. That's dead. You know. I mean, I could tell you the reasons why I'm right, but.
But what was right in this case?
Exactly. This is exactly what I was explaining. It, what was right is for me to hear her heart, yes, take it to him, yep, and to know that if I have peace in him, yep, that's where I want to be. And peace with him is also
peace in the
peace
home
with her. And it was really like big deal, you know. It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, I have my reasons, but we can do this. Big deal. It's really important to her.
Yeah.
Like really important to her.
Yeah.
All right.
But have you been blessed? Like, are you surprised at the result from and my response? Did you foresee the, or did you foresee it? I don't know.
Yeah, I get payment from your response.
No, seriously.
No,
like,
yeah, no, it's totally, yeah. I mean, and that's not, I didn't do it because of that.
No, no, but I'm surprised, honestly, in me. Sorry, we're having a family discussion. You can eavesdrop. I was surprised in me how much trust, like, from my soul has been built in that, and how many times I have felt compelled to thank you that you,
yeah,
that we have no mortgages, we have nothing at all, no debts at all, totally free, mm-hmm, and that, like, just even our first Shabbat in the camper, like, I was overwhelmed with freedom and all of that stuff. So I was really surprised at my own response with you making that decision. Were right. You, have you been surprised at my response?
It's been a massive blessing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't expecting it, but it was. It's been awesome, you know, and how that I've seen how it's impacted you, mm-hmm, and just, you know, how much it's meant to you. Yeah, it's been awesome.
So do you see what I'm saying? So that's why it's so important to go to the Father, for both of you, to hold what you're holding on to loosely. Don't dig your heels in the ground, because that creates the conflict. That creates contention, not conflict. Do you understand? There's a difference between those two. So if you're holding loosely, it's conflict, because we have to discuss it. Digging your heels in the ground creates contention and striving and trying to prove each other wrong while you're trying to prove yourself right. And so in this setting, when I didn't foresee that there was a blessing with it, and he has blessed it. He's also blessed Hans's, Hans is having his best investing year.
His last absolute 2 years have been
best. Yeah, last 2 years, while he's been paying cash for this house, he's had the two best investing years that he's ever had. So
there's some funny stories about that too, but.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Jen, sorry.
Hi, thank you for taking this question. I'm really scared to ask this because I know it's going to create, hopefully it won't create a lot of judgment. If it does, that's your issue.
You got it, baby.
So.
You got it.
Is there like, and if you can't answer, maybe somebody here can't, is there like an online or someplace where you can actually learn about the Bible? Because I always get
about
kicked
what?
Out of churches.
Oh, baby. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
She says, is there an online place to learn the Bible?
Like, really learn it. Mm-hmm. I don't want, like, the cookie cutter, Jesus is good, you know.
Devil is bad.
You can sin, you can do all this crap, you can hurt people, just pray he'll forgive you, and you can do it again.
You want to learn it.
I want to learn it. I want to know it. I want to know the true word, what it says to help me.
My answer to you is to seek your Father and ask him to lead you to that place, because he knows exactly where you're at. He's the one who has planted the question inside of you, and he will answer that prayer. In response to that, I've been kicked out of all these churches. Is it because you ask a lot of questions?
Yeah.
And you ask the uncomfortable questions.
Yeah, like, why do you have trick or treat? You might as well have Horse Day.
Why do you have what?
Horse Day.
Why do you have kid or what?
I
trick
was
or
witch.
Treat. You might as well have Horse Day.
I used to practice witchcraft, yeah. And Halloween was
valid
our day.
Question.
And you don't do that at church. You know,
come
and
on,
even
girlfriend.
Our son, you know, and I raised my daughter in the occult and my son out of the occult, and their lives are so different. Mm-hmm. My son calls me out on my bullshit all the time. I enjoy that. And he uses the word of God, but okay.
So ask your father.
I did. Okay. And he said, ask someone.
Well, don't you think it's interesting that you're here?
Yeah.
Guess what you're learning?
About God.
You're learning the Bible.
But
you're
I
learning
once,
the Bible actually the same exact way that Jesus' disciples learned it, the same way that everybody in the Bible learned it, because there was nothing written for a really long time.
Just read it.
It not only just read
Dude,
it, but
I'm
read
dumb.
It. No. So was
him.
I. Listen to me.
It's
listen to me.
It's a perfect opportunity to ask you,
yes,
Father, teach
he will
me.
Show
what does
you.
This mean?
Listen to me. I was dyslexic. He delivered me of that in 2001. I didn't read my first book till I was 21 years old, okay? So when you say you're dumb, I understand what you're talking about, and that's what you confess to your father. And this is what I confess to him. Like, dude, you know I'm dumb. You know that I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I feel so stupid when I'm around these people who can quote scriptures left and right. I feel like an idiot every time I go to church, right? So you know me. You know how you made me, dude. I need gigantic neon signs, and I need them hitting me upside the head like 12 times. Otherwise, I don't know you're talking to me. So please take the dense girl and help her not be so dense. This is how I talk to him. So every morning when I read my Bible, Father, teach me. What do you want me to know from what I'm reading? And I'm going to tell you something. I have hundreds of sermons. I have been teaching the Bible for about 18 years. 18 years I've been teaching the Bible. That has happened not because I went to seminary, not because I learned it from somebody else. That is simply between me and my father. Watch this. My teachings are being taught by pastors. My teachings are being taught in universities all over the world. If only they knew. I don't have a degree. But I have a degree in him. So he takes a dumb girl who's dyslexic. He takes a dumb girl who also practiced witchcraft, by the way. Who also was a whore, by the way. He uses people like us to confound the wise. The so-called wise. So if he taught me, he will teach you. Do you understand? He will teach you. And because you came from the occult, you actually have a greater, I'm not encouraging anyone to go into the occult.
No, don't do it.
That's not what I'm saying.
Don't do it.
But what I am telling you is that you have tarried on the outer edge of spirituality. So you will be able to hear him actually in a different way than some of the bound up religious people who have a really hard time hearing his voice. Because they hear his voice through all these rules where you actually know how to sense his presence. You know the presence of darkness, and you know what the presence of light feels like, okay? So you actually have a little bit more courage than the Baptist minister has. He's bound by the rules that man told him what they are, okay? You're not. So you'll be able to read the word of the living God and hear him freely in it and draw revelation from it. So just listen to me. You ask him, Father, teach me. Show me what you want me to learn today. And watch. I remember going through the book of Leviticus going, dang, man, there's a lot of details in here. And then right away I'm like, he says, yes, I am detailed. I'm like, oh, yeah. Wow, man, you logged everything. Okay? So do you see what I'm saying? You're going to hear his voice. You already hear his voice. As you go page by page, line by line, you are going to learn him versus learning him from man. And the Bible says that we do not need a man to teach us. The Bible's clear. You need the Holy Spirit. It's Ruach HaKodesh. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you. And that's what you have available. Pick up that book, Father, Teach Me. You know I'm dumb. Fix that. I'm pretty confident you could do it. You're part of the Red Sea. I'm pretty good you could change me. You fed the children of Israel with manna fallen from heaven for 40 years and their sandals never worn out. I'm pretty sure that if you can bring water from a rock, you can help me understand who you are. Fair enough? If you can plant a baby in an 80-year-old broad, you can teach me. Pass the mic.
Okay, thank you.
One more question on this side. We got it right here.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Well, hello, everyone. And first of all, I want to say thank you very much for having something like this. This is my first time in Hawaii, Maui, and went to your event. And I wrote things down so I don't screw this up, right? All right. I'm actually looking. It's not a question. I'm looking for blessing. I'm in the military for about 17 years. I'll make a career out of it. And I'm going. You're welcome. And I'm going to be getting deployed within the next few months. And I just want to thank this whole community that's been very supportive. But with that, Belinda here, I'm going to call her out. She's been very supportive, and I want to thank her for all this. She actually told me about this event, and I just jumped on it. I said, we have to go. And I want to say thank you, and I love her very much. We are not married, but with that said.
Yeah!
I love you so much. You are my everything. And I want to be your husband. Would you marry me? Thank you, Danny.
Yes.
And Mona.
Yes. Wow. Oh, that's okay. I know, I heard it. Where's your bless them?
Huh?
Bless them. Stay standing. Go. Stay standing, you two. I bless you, beautiful woman. Chosen by this man, but first chosen by the living God. I bless your beauty, your stamina, your strength. I bless you as an industrious woman, a woman of wisdom. I bless you as a woman who fears her God, which is more precious than rubies and diamonds. I bless the work of your hands that they will produce much. I bless your mouth to speak blessing over your man. I bless your mouth to speak blessing over children. I bless your eyes to see the vision in which God has set before the two of you. And I bless you with patience and understanding and endurance as your husband will be deployed. I bless you with faithfulness and honor. Yes, persistence. I bless your feet, that your feet will not be idle, but that you also, that your head would be crowned with wonderful glory from the living God, that you'll be an example in the community in which you live in for everyone, that you'll be an encourager to not only him, but children and friends and family members. I bless your sex drive. That it will be on when he's around. Freely giving yourself to him and freely being able to receive from him. And that when you are apart from each other, that God will be the one to guide you night and day, to guide your heart and your mind, that you will trust fully as you fall into this man's arms.
And I bless you, brother, as a son of the living God.
Stand up.
May you forever know that as your core identity. May you always own your shit. And have the strength to rest in him, be covered by his peace, walk in the law of love, not fear, all the days of your life.
Yes. Okay, we're going to take, don't move. Every time I say we're going to take a break or a dinner break, it's like you're like cows heading for the trough, man. Seriously, my gosh. Okay, so tonight we are going to begin the conversation of sex. Because we haven't
begin?
Started. Yes, we haven't started
or continue.
Yet. Begin. Okay, so we're going to begin.
Because we haven't been talking about
like
it
officially.
Yet at all.
All right, so listen up. So here's what I want you to do in kicking that off. Okay, we're going to be talking about intimacy as how it leads into that wonderful, beautiful blessing. Did you hear me? Say this with me. Sex is a blessing. It's blessed by God in the context of marriage. He wants us to do it. He actually commanded us to do it. Did you hear me? He commanded us to do it. Okay, now we don't have a long dinner break. That doesn't mean you have to do it now, okay? But listen to me. Here's what I want you to do. When you're at dinner, I want you, first of all, to write down 5 things that you like about how you like to be flirted with. Okay, how do you personally like to be flirted with, all right? How do you like to be flirted with? And I want you to discuss it with each other. Discuss how you like to be flirted with, and you may not have sex at dinner. My husband does this to me sometimes. He's like, no, He says, don't even think about it. Because tonight, you're not getting any of this.
For reals?
For reals. Don't.
He's one like, time I told her, you know, no matter how much you beg. You just not gonna get what you want tonight.
I wasn't even thinking about it. But as soon as he said that, I was like, what? I'm going to tell you a hilarious story as we close. That's part of flirting, by the way, with him telling me that no matter what I do, no matter how much I beg, that I wasn't getting anything from him that night. I'm like, wow, of course he didn't stick to it. It was called reverse psychology is what he was doing. I wasn't even thinking about it. So anyway, we were in Cayman, and you know, we had pretty much have been having a marathon, right, for the last 3 weeks. And so this is like the second to the last night that we're there. And so anyway, so he starts pulling this like, Danny, I need a break, okay? So I just need a break.
Can you just calm down a little bit?
Look at that face.
Just calm
Get the camera
down.
On that face. So this is what he'd do. He'd go like, yeah, you know, just, I need a break. With the smirk on his face. The face was not saying what his mouth was saying at all, right? No, he's being all flirty, like, you know, you just got to calm down. So I start playing into this whole thing of like, man, telling you what, you might want to just get yourself ready. So all day this is going on, right? All afternoon this is going on, right? And so I am flirting with him, telling him what I'm going to do. You better be ready, buddy. You better be ready. You better save that energy because you're going to need it. Okay, so I keep saying this over and over again. We get back to the hotel.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I remember now.
We get back to the hotel room.
Oh, God.
We get back to the hotel room. Let's just say it was a super long day. We snorkeled, we sailed, we ate, we drank. We had, like, so much fun. So anyway, so now it's, like, the end of the day, and I'm still, like, walking there. I said, you better be ready, buddy. You better be ready. Make sure you got that energy. We're getting ready for bed. We're laying in bed. Because you know what I'm going to do?
True story.
I totally passed out.
She's talking. She's telling me. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's quiet. About 15, 20 seconds. And then all of a sudden, I hear, like, this deep breathing, this sleeping breathing, and I'm like, like, then it was until the next day when I told her.
The next morning he told me. I totally passed out. So anyway, not all flirting always has to result in the action. Sometimes the flirting itself is just fun. Sometimes that in itself is just fun and super stimulating and exciting and no pressure. So anyway, I thought it was important to tell you that to take some pressure off of some of you. Anyway, so I want you to write down how you like to be flirted with or how you feel flirted with, and I want you to talk about it at dinner and no sex. From the single guy going, yeah, right. But just no pressure, right? We're just, again, the topic at dinner is flirting, like how we like to be flirted with. What your spouse does, you're like, but he doesn't ever flirt. Shut your mouth. He's a new creature. Okay, you all flirted at some point in your life. Okay, you all flirted at some point in your life. Now, it's a focus here this weekend, right? This is a focus that we're going to explore how we like to be flirted with. Make sense? All right, cool. You have to be back here at 7. You have to be back here at 7:10. 7:10. Hurry up.